Raymer, what is your profession? Our scripture reading is coming from Psalms 105. I think we're having a little technical difficulties, but nevertheless, Psalms 105, verse 19. Amen. Our choir did a wonderful job. Amen. And I wonder if I was looking at what I was looking at when I saw them pull out their phones to look at the songs. Amen. I just wanted to make sure that that's what I was looking at. I was in a choir before that, and I didn't pull out a phone that had the songs on there. Look how far we've come. God just bless you. Everything's at the tip of your fingers. Yes. Amen. I was like, man, isn't that something? Amen.
Right here.
Okay. Psalms 105, 19. Are we there? Amen. That was just a delay just to get some of you all there, just in case you didn't know where Psalms was. Amen. Verse 19. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Amen. You may be seated. In some of the Bibles, it may have tested. Tried, tested, same thing. In case you don't know who him is, that's Joseph. Amen. That's Joseph. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him, tested him. How many of you know that the word of God will test you? Amen. I mean, when I say it would test you, the word of God will test you to see what you're made of, to see if you will hang in there. To see if you will give up, it will test you. Just like in schools, you have schools that will test you to see if you can make the grade, to see if you will hang in there or drop out. Test you. So let me give you a little bit of background just in case you don't know who Joseph is. Joseph. We're not talking about Joseph, the earthly father. I mean, the earthly husband of Mary. We're not talking about that Joseph. We're talking about Jacob's son, Joseph. Joseph was a man who had two dreams that confirmed the Lord's will for his life to rule over his family. From the time he voiced these dreams, everything seemed to go in the opposite direction. How has that happened to you in your life? That when things are spoken, it goes in the opposite direction. So we receive a word, a promise from God, but things don't seem to be going in the direction that the promise has said. We see things going the opposite direction. Sometimes people can say, well, you're going to get promoted on your job. And then you get laid off. And then you wonder, how is that possible to get promoted and then get laid off? Well, maybe it wasn't that job you promoted on. Maybe it was the other job. So you had to get laid off from this job in order to get promoted on this job. See, we don't look at it that way. We just look and say, hey, didn't go in the direction that we wanted to go. So before you begin to believe that the promise of God are not true or that God really doesn't care, consider the life of Joseph. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. He was falsely accused of trying to commit adultery with his master's wife. He was thrown into prison. He interpreted the butler's dream and asked him not to forget him when he got out of prison. But he was forgotten again. So 2 years later, Pharaoh had a dream. Look at God work here. Pharaoh had a dream which caused the butler to mention Joseph. Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dream and gave him a plan to save the people in a time of drought. Joseph was promoted to second in command over the land of Egypt. Later, during the famine, his brothers came, and as the dream prophesied, they bowed down before him to request food for their household in Canaan. Still hurt by the betrayal of his brothers, he sought to find out if things had really changed in their life. Eventually, Joseph was convinced and revealed himself to them. He and his family were reunited. The promise came true but Joseph was a different man than what he was when he first received the dream. See, when he first received the dream, he went and started telling everything, started talking to everybody about everything. But now God had to mature him, raise him up. So God tested Joseph in order to prepare him for the inheritance. Promise. So until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. So what I want to talk about today, the word of the Lord tested, tried him. So what I want to say is that there is a due season. There is a set time in your life that struggle is going to come to an end. That problem has an expiration date, has a due date. If the technology was working like I want it to work, you would see a calendar up here with a date circled that says it's pretty much talking about your due date. So I had today circled. Because today is a due day for somebody. I don't know who it is, but it is a due day. Oh, yes, I can prophesy too. It's a due date. It's a set time for somebody today. So I tell you how much the devil don't want you to receive your set time, your due date. He didn't want this to work. See, this is what happens. See, right before you get ready to be blessed, then Satan wants to come in and mess you up and get you all off track of your blessing. Because he don't want you to arrive. Just like when a woman gets pregnant, there is a due date. One thing I'm going to tell you. We never read about Joseph complaining or wavering in his faith in any way, even though he was betrayed by his brothers, falsely accused of rape, cast into prison by his employer, and forgotten by those he helped. Unlike us, Joseph didn't have the benefit of reading about Joseph. All right. Like we have the benefit of reading about Joseph that will encourage us. He didn't have his own story to read. All he had was God. That's all he had. He didn't even have the Holy Spirit there to comfort him. But just as there is a due date for a pregnant woman to give birth, there is a set time for your promise. But don't expect to give birth without some pain. Amen? Don't expect to give birth without some pain. One thing I'm going to tell you, I had the pleasure of being there for both of my babies being born. And my wife gave birth natural. She didn't get the injection to relieve her from the pain. She endured the pain. So she gave birth natural. So what I'm saying is, right before she got ready to deliver, there was some pain, excruciating pain. So much so that my wife don't even realize some of the things she did to me while she was in pain. I said, baby, don't you want to get a shot, something to relieve her? That's what she did to me. I was like, okay, let me shut up now. Let me find something else to do or say. So she was in pain. So much so, I really wanted to show the video, but I didn't think it would be appropriate for this sermon. Or for you all. Oh, let me bag it up. For my sake. For my sake. It wouldn't be right. But she almost tore that bed up. I'm serious. She almost tore that bed up. And I was thinking, this ain't on my insurance policy. I don't think the insurance gonna cover the bed. It will cover the delivery, but not the bed. But right before birth, excruciating pain. So many of you who are going through something right now in life and you experience some type of pain and struggle, that's because your contractions are getting strong that you're about to give birth. See, our text tells us a famine condition that existed, and in the midst of the famine condition, the man of God speaks a word of promise that has attached to it a due date. All right. A due date. All right. God builds your faith and my faith by testing it. All right. That's how he builds it. He builds our faith by putting it to the test, by trying it. Faith is like a muscle, and when it stretches and is pulled, then it develops. It develops when it's stretched and pulled. When you test your muscles against weights, then your muscles develop. And your faith, as your faith develops. So when you are tested, your faith develops in Christ. So God is testing you every moment of your life. Every day you have faith-building opportunities. The problem is with most of us is that we don't recognize them when we see them. We flunk the test because we don't even realize it's a test for every promise. For example, let me say this. When somebody comes up to you and says something to you, I know you can clown. I know that. But when somebody comes up to you and says something to you, if you go back at them, that was a test that you just flunked. Anybody can say something smart back, but who can hold their tongue? For every promise, for every prophecy, and for every dream, there is a set time. You need to know that. With every promise God has spoke into your life, there is a condition. One of the conditions of this promise is that you have to trust God. The more you trust God, the more God is able to meet your needs in your life. The blessing from God is a covenant promise. When a man is chosen by God for a greater blessing, then trial is necessary. Every man God used entered into a realm of rise and shine was tested. Psalms 105:19, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tested, tried Joseph. Joseph was still being tried and tested by God. He was still going through that situation. He was still being locked up in prison until the word of the pronouncement that will set him free came. When the butler said, "There is a young man, a Hebrew, who interpreted my dream and restored me back to my position." And in verse 14, Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and the Bible says they brought him in a hurry. The butler brought the inspiration of God. The butler, through the inspiration of God, announced the ending, the due date of Joseph's trial, and Joseph moved from the prison to the palace. So there is someone here. The word of the Lord will announce the ending of the troubles that you are going through, and it shall manifest right now in the name of Jesus. See, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. It was not until the word was spoken about Joseph, it was not until he was announced that his problems came to an end. So there is someone here that is, there is a word that must be spoken concerning you. In other words, there is a helper that must advertise you. Y'all still ain't hearing what I'm saying. So there is a decree from God that is meant to put an end to your trial and trouble this year. So here's what I'm saying, is that there is somebody who God is going to use that you don't even know that he's going to use, that's going to advertise you to receive this blessing that God has in store for you. But the word has to come to this person who's going to advertise you for this blessing. This is what the butler did. He advertised Joseph to Pharaoh. He spoke a word. In other words, he spoke a word to his due date, his expiration date. He is basically saying, "Joseph, now today is your due day. Today is a set time." Somebody's got to carry God's word, because it's not coming back to God until it has accomplished what it has set out to do. So his word had to be carried, because God said, "I know what I spoke into your life. I know what I gave you, Joseph, so it's going to be carried out." So I understand this, because it reminds me of what happened to me. Somebody advertised me for a promotion. Somebody spoke a word to the leaders, those who are in authority, saying, "I know a man who can do the job." They said to this is what happened. The supervisor had walked off on the job. She was gone. So I kept working, and I was working as if she was still there. They didn't even know she had left the job. And they said, "Well, what happened to so-and-so?" Well, they said, "Well, she is missing in action." Well, they said, "Well, who's been doing it?" "Ronnie. He's been doing it the whole time? She's been gone?" "Yes. I was being advertised. Wasn't complaining, but I'm being advertised." In other words, there is a set time for my promotion that was coming. And all I kept doing was working and doing the will of God. And the whole time while I was doing my work, I was being advertised by somebody. Somebody spoke a word to the authorities that brought me into that position. 21st is a due date for somebody in here. Somebody's got an expected date. This, y'all know how you circle things on your calendar. And you anticipate it, and you look forward to it. This is a due date. By the time we're in service, or by the time I'm done with this message, somebody's going to get something from God. In other words, God's got something that's hovering over you right now that is ready to descend down upon you. And let me tell you what it's going to do to you. And you're going to remember that I said this. Sometimes it's going to, when you hear the word of God and when it manifests itself in your life,
This is what you end up doing when you see it come forth like it should. You're going to start laughing.
Hallelujah.
And it ain't really funny, but it is funny. Because you see that God, look at Jesus. That's what you're going to say. You're going to say, look at God do his thing. And that's why you see a lot of Christians, when it ain't really funny to laugh at certain situations, you see us laughing because we can see God working in the midst when you can't even see him. So there is an appointed time for the word that was promised or that dream to be manifested. It's no different in the natural. When a seed is sown, there is a process that the seed goes through before there can be a harvest. But as sure as that seed is planted, if it's kept in the ground and properly cared for, there will be a due season.
All right.
Let me tell you something. Remember, Joseph was thrown in the pit, right? Y'all remember that? Yeah, whatever is. See, here's the thing. He was, in other words, he was planted. He was planted. His brother took him. He was a seed. They took him and planted him in the ground. But he resurrected. And I can take this another way because they did the same thing to Jesus. And he resurrected. Say, but I ain't.
All right, all right.
But Joseph was planted in the ground and was resurrected. So I think about this garden that we have out there. As I was watching, you know, the men, you know, plant, Brother Moore and Brother Pittman, as they were planting. You know, I'm a pastor. I've done many eulogies and things like that. I was just, my mind just went towards this. As I was seeing them, I saw them as, I'm going to say this, as undertakers. And I saw them burying these seeds. One was going before. And y'all know how they have the grave site at Jefferson Barracks. They all, I don't care how you look, those stones are lined up. They had back there the garden. See, these are professionals. They had perfectionists. They had a rope lined up, and they planted all those seeds in the row. And I'm a pastor, and I'm sitting there watching, and I'm sitting there thinking. My mind went towards burial. It went towards that these seeds are being buried. But God said they may be buried, but they're going to be resurrected. They're going to come up different than they went down. God said they may be going down as a seed, but they're going to come up as a plant, fruitful, multiplying. So God said it has to be planted in order for us to reap the harvest. But see, here's the problem. Here's the problem. I'm on page 2 right now, y'all. We have a problem with waiting. We get a prophecy and we think it should happen the next day. Minister Catino, Minister Joyce, they prophesied to us. And next, you know, we want it to happen just as soon as they say it. They don't work like that. They don't work like that. And when it doesn't happen in 2 weeks, we get mad. If it don't happen in 4 months, we really get concerned now. Yeah, I wonder if they have missed their calling. We start talking about them. No, don't do that. It's a set time. Due season. I mean, how many times? I can tell you, I can write a book. My mother used to tell me, depends on how you act. God. I didn't like that, but because I knew that my acting was going to mess it up for me. Ooh, I'm going to do therapy right now. It messed me up because I knew that between now and the time that my expected gift or my expectation, I knew I wasn't going to get it. But I thank God for grace and mercy because that's the only way I got it. Is that my mother showed some grace and some mercy. A lot of us shouldn't get what we get for God. But it's because of grace and his mercy. That's the only reason why you get it. So we start getting, we get worried when we don't get it. A year and we get worried. 4 years, Lord, you done forgot about me. Maybe it was just wishful. Maybe she was just saying something good to me. I'm here to tell you today that there is a process. Every dream, every promotion, every promise must go through this process. For some of you, graduation is just around the corner. But for every certification, for every level of degree, there is a process. There is a test, a grade associated with the test on every level. So what I'm trying to say is that I wonder what your grade point average is. Wonder what your grade point average is when it comes to waiting on the Lord. See, a lot of us, we like to brag about our grade point average. Yeah, I got a 90. I'm carrying a 98. Carrying a 98. I'm carrying a 99.9. You got to throw that 9 in there. I'm carrying an A average. Well, that's good. But what is your grade point average with the Lord? See, we like when we got a bad grade, we don't want nobody to see it. They teach you tripping. Mm-hmm. They teach you tripping. I'm going to talk to her. Knowing you didn't study. Knowing you failed the test because of you. Well, had nothing to do with the teacher. Has to do with you. Psalms 105:19, keep us on track. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. This tells us that Joseph had a word from God, a dream, and that word from God tested him. In other words, he was tested by time to see if he would hold on to the dream or if he would forsake it. Many of us will forsake the word of God, was forsake what God has said to us. Time is a great test through which all of us must pass. You see, time tests our faith. It challenges us to prove whether we believe God or not. It is critical what we do during our waiting period. There is a due season, a due date for your word, your dream, your promise to come to pass. God has established a due date in your life. He's established that. Just as Hannah carried the prophet Samuel in her womb for 9 months before there was a birth, you and I must also carry the word of the Lord, the dream, in our spiritual womb until due season. So there is a lot of people that want to give birth, but they haven't gotten pregnant yet. You have to first get pregnant with the promise. Here's where I'm going with that. You don't get pregnant just by hearing the word once and attending church once. That word has to get down in your spirit. It has to affect the way you think, the way you talk, the way you walk. When a woman gets pregnant, you can tell. A change starts taking place. She thinks pregnant. Everything she looks at tells her she's expecting. She talks pregnant. And in a little while, she walks pregnant. When a woman becomes pregnant, many of them begin to avoid things that would harm the living baby inside of them. And once she gets pregnant, there is a due season, a manifestation. You notice that as she gets closer to her due date, she becomes uncomfortable. She doesn't fit in the clothes she used to wear. She doesn't sit where she used to sit anymore. When you are pregnant with the promise, you start outgrowing some things. In other words, you are not satisfied with things the way they always been. There's a divine discontent and dissatisfaction that begins to grow in you. When my wife was pregnant, she knew her body better than that nurse knew her and the doctor knew. She knew she was ready to deliver. She knew that this was her due date. I don't care what they was telling her, that you were just having false contractions and labor. My wife, She knew she was going to have this baby today. She knew her body. She knew that it was time to deliver. Because you know, and here's the thing, you walk different. You act different. I remember when I left previous church. Grandfather retired, looking for a church home to help out in the ministry. Just wanted to help. Didn't want a pastor, just wanted to help. Didn't want a pastor. But God had impregnated me with a ministry. And I kind of felt like, in some word, Mary. When Mary said, hey, hold up, I ain't did nothing. And I was like, hold up, Lord, I don't want to be no pastor. Hold up now, what you talking about? I seen what my grandfather went through. I know I don't want to go through that. But God had impregnated me with the ministry through the Holy Spirit. And I said, and the family could tell you, I said, I ain't going to do this. No, 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 no. We ain't starting no ministry. I said, we ain't doing that. Man, God made me eat every last one of my words, including the period. Everything. Said, we ain't doing this. The enemy wanted me to abort a new move of God. Not everybody's excited about an arrival of a new birth. But you have an expectation of something greater. And that expectation of something greater is making you uncomfortable where you are. So where I was going to these churches, where I was just trying to blend in, God had already sent word, make him uncomfortable. Now you may say, well, what did they do? They told me, well, I'm sure you will be good someplace else, but not here. That's what was said to me. I'm just visiting. I ain't talking about joining or nothing. I was just visiting. Churches that I went to said, oh, you'll be good for somebody else's ministry. Every church I went to, I said, what the devil? Y'all ain't supposed to say that in church. Y'all supposed to encourage me and lift me up. You don't say that to me. I'm going through something right now. I was getting mad. You don't say that. You encourage people. We just left a church. We hurt. And I go to a church, you're going to hurt me again? No, you don't say that to me. You say, oh, now how can we help you? No, they ain't do that. I'm sure you'll find a ministry somewhere. That's what was said to me. And I was like, Lord, what's going on here? Lord began to speak to me. And he said, start from scratch. I said, I ain't doing that. I have a relationship with God now. When you don't have a relationship with him, you can't say what I say. I have a relationship with God. Just like I have a relationship with certain individuals that I have access to the house and I can go in and get what I want, but you don't have, you see what I'm saying? You don't have that relationship, so you can't do that. So in other words, when you build a relationship, then you can do that. Just like Moses said, Lord, if you destroy these people, block my name out of the book of life. He had a relationship. I had a relationship with God. I was like, I'm not starting nothing from scratch. That's a lot of work. I ain't doing that. Hey, find something else for me to do. Be on the usher board or something. I did that before. Well, let me try that again, see how that work out for me. You know, maybe do a janitor thing again, you know, because the ministry ain't working out for me right now. I mean, I'm unemployed. Lord was like, no, start from scratch. I don't want to start from scratch. I didn't want to start from scratch because now I got to go back and eat my words. I don't like to eat my words. That was an attitude that I had. I didn't want to go back in the family. I told everybody. I was a ringleader. We ain't doing that. We ain't doing none of that. God said, I ain't tell you that. That's coming out of your mouth. Lord said, you're gonna start a ministry. God kept speaking to me, made me uncomfortable. Made me uncomfortable because I was pregnant. with the ministry that was inside of me that God was about to give birth to. And he said, you having some contractions. You need to see a doctor. And I'm the doctor. I'm telling you, you're about ready to deliver. This is why you're uncomfortable. God was saying to me, this is what's going to happen. This is what you're going to do. Lay it out. So I had to go back to each of the family and talk to them. I didn't like it. Boy, I didn't like that. Had to eat my words. But God has a way of humbling us. Because God spoke to me, and I'm going to tell you, it was so clear to me. I was laying on my couch. Spoke to me so clear. He said, so you won't start a ministry from scratch, but yet you helped that job start from scratch. Am I hearing you? Now, I ain't say that. I had to change the way that I was talking to God. Because God spoke to me. And he said to me, this is what's going to happen. This is how it's going to be done. So just as in the natural, there is a struggle before birth, so it is in the spiritual. There is usually a great warfare just before manifestation. We need to realize that just before manifestation, Satan will do everything he can to get you to cast away your confidence and abort your promise. God gave a word of promise concerning the turnaround. God established a due date and said, tomorrow about this time. Tomorrow about this time. That's the way God speaks to us. For those who believe God, it can bring great joy to your heart. But the truth is that from a natural perspective, nothing changed for the better when the word was spoken. Sometimes before the breakthrough, your problems can actually get worse. When everything natural evidence disputes the word of God, and when from all visible circumstances, evidence look as if we are getting worse instead of getting better. All of a sudden, the report came from people. Reports can come from people that you wouldn't even expect it to come from, that would tell you what the Lord is getting ready to do in your life. Sometimes we look at the person who is delivering the message instead of listening to the message that the person is delivering. Because we want certain individuals to tell us what thus saith the Lord, or who we're comfortable talking to. But sometimes God can send somebody along your way. Matter of fact, he can send somebody you don't even like along your way that will tell you a word from heaven. And God is already testing you to see if you will listen to the word. But many of us, we go to sometimes, and I'm going to say this, sometimes we go to prophets to see if they will wow us. They're not there to wow you. They're not there to make you feel excited and be like, wow, man, how did they do that? How did they know? That's not what they're there for. They're there to give you a word from God. Basically, what they're doing is giving you history, because it has already really taken place. We just need you. God just needs you to get on board with it. But what I want you to see is that while everything inside, sometimes everything inside could be good, but on the outside, things could be bad. We need to understand that God has a way of doing strange things in our lives, doing things that you don't even imagine, can't even explain how God would do things. Sometimes I looked at situations on my job and say, you know, why? How can I get this when this person is here who's more qualified? Have y'all ever done that? We always look at the other person and look at their credentials and see that they're more qualified for the job than you. But what we don't see is that that person is getting ready to exit. They're getting ready to leave. You don't know that. You don't see that because they haven't turned in their resignation yet. We don't see that. All we see is that that person is right there in the way. And that there are a stumbling block for us. But God is looking like this. God sees the resignation already typed up and signed, submitted to the leadership. God sees you in the position. But what all God really wants you to do is act in obedience and in faith and just walk in according to his word. And God said that the position is yours. I don't care what it looks like. I know you don't see the resignation. I know she hasn't. They have, you know, the jobs are real sneaky. They don't tell everybody about announcements and everything. Next thing you know, you'll be like, oh, I didn't know so-and-so left. What happened? So-and-so resigned. But see, God knows. God knows what's getting ready to happen, and God's just trying to tell you, stay put. See, God can bless you right where you are. But see, we look, and we on the internet looking and Googling and searching and looking for something. And really what God is saying, why are you doing all that? I can bless you right where you are. But I need you to have faith in me. See, that's the problem with us. We don't want to exercise in faith. We want God to just do it. Do it now. Or give me some type of reason or let me see it for myself right now. God does not always work that way. We have to walk by faith, not by sight. If you're walking by sight, you're in trouble. But if you're walking by faith, you can care less what's going on around you. Because you know by faith, things could happen. But see, here's the test. A very important test is how you act when you can't feel God's presence in your life. Sometimes God intentionally draws back. Y'all seen that Ray Charles movie? Y'all see when he was going blind? Y'all know when he called out on his mother? And you know when his mother was getting ready to help him, but she stopped. See, that's the picture of God. God hears your voice. He's ready to come to you, but he's like, hold up. Let me see how you do. I want to see you make it first. Let me see. And then you saw how the little boy was starting to pick up his senses. He was coming to himself. So he started, his vision was going, but he started listening. See, that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to see. We run off at our mouth too much. God wants you to listen to what's going on around you. So the little boy started listening. He started listening. He heard a cricket. Then he heard the fireplace. Then he started hearing other things. He started picking up his senses. And then all of a sudden, his mother was just standing back with awe and was getting teary-eyed, and she was looking at her son maturing, looking at him develop his senses. This is the same thing that God does. He watches us. He wants to see how you react to this test. See how you react to this test. See how you react to this test. God is looking back and seeing how... seeing how you respond, seeing how you know how sometimes we get impatient in the waiting room, right? So God is watching you in his waiting room to see how impatient you get, to see if you are sitting there or if you're occupying your time wisely. So as you saw the movie Ray Charles, you saw how he got up and how he found the cricket and how he said, Mama, I hear you. I knew you was there the whole time. That's the way God is with us. They're not struggles. He's there with us the whole time. He's not far from us. He could reach in. He could come and help us immediately. But God is trying to see what you're going to do. Some of us want God to do everything for us. God has provided for you. And now we want God to fix us a bowl of cereal. We want to see how God can magically do this. This is how we really are. We act just like this. We want God to say, we got the bowl of cereal there. God has already made provision. See, we want God to get the cereal, get the bowl, get the milk, pour it all in this together, and then we can feed ourselves. Now you may sound that's ridiculous. That's how it is with us when we want God to go to that extreme.
when God is saying there's things that you can do. There's things that you can do. So, a king named Hezekiah experienced a test. The Bible said God withdrew from Hezekiah in order to test him and to see what was really in his heart. Ooh, if God did us like that. See what's in your heart. Hezekiah had enjoyed a close fellowship with God. But at a crucial point in his life, God left him alone to test his character, to reveal a weakness and to prepare him for more responsibilities. We have to understand that God is just only preparing you for more. How many want a nurse that has never been to school before? So you say, how can she be a nurse? We got a lot of self-made people out there. You got a lot of people that can doctor up something and that can get past the interview. I'm saying, how many of you want somebody who ain't never been through anything? The reason why I can stand before you as a pastor is because I've been through struggle. I've been through hard times. I've been through the times where God has withdrew. I've been through the struggles and the testing times. But I'm here to tell you that you can make it. Yes, I had the Joseph story to encourage me. You need to understand that life is a test. You realize that nothing is insufficient in your life. Even the smallest incident has significance for your character development. Every day is an important day, and every second is a growth opportunity to deepen your character, to demonstrate love, or to depend on God. The good news is that God wants you to pass the test of life, so he never allows them to be greater than the grace he gives you to handle them. There is a due date for somebody in here. There is a set time for somebody in here today that God is saying, I'm bringing an end to this today. You shall not deal with this anymore. God is saying, when it was spoken over my life that I was going to get married, that the word came to me so strong. And y'all know I waited a long time. But the word came to me so strong that it said, this is your season. This is your due date. And I rejoiced all the way up to the wedding because I knew that God had spoken a word in my life. And I knew that it was a due date and it was a set time that I had circled on the calendar. All right. That I started looking for it. And I started expecting this deliverance. So you can pull out your calendar and you can say, Lord, I know that on this calendar, 365 days of the year, there is a set time. There is a due date. There is an expiration date for my struggles to be over. There is a deliverance day in this year for me. So you got to believe that. You got to know that it's coming to an end for you. And if you don't believe that, shame on you for letting the devil allow you to abort what God has said and what God has prophesied over your life. We got too many people that's aborting what God has spoke over their life. God said you are somebody. You will be somebody. God said that I will bless you all the days of your life. You got to believe that for yourself. You got to walk around like even though you don't have the money in the bank, but you got money with Jesus. You have to believe this for yourself. I'm preaching this word to you. I'm preaching this word to you. I can preach it all day long. I can sweat. Y'all want me to get a handkerchief? Y'all want me to do that? But I'm going to tell you, I can do all of that for you. But when it comes down to it, you got to believe for yourself. You got to get pregnant with God's word. You just can't hear it. You got to get it down in your spirit. You got to start walking like you're pregnant. You got to start talking like you're pregnant. And when you're pregnant, you don't eat the things you used to eat no more. My wife stopped eating certain things when she became pregnant. Her appetite changed. Things she used to eat, she didn't eat no more. Things she used to do, she didn't do no more. So what I'm telling you, that when you get pregnant with God's word, things you used to smoke, you ain't gonna smoke it no more. Things you used to drink, you ain't gonna drink it no more. Where you used to go and hang out, you ain't gonna hang out there no more. Why? Because you just been pregnant. Now you gotta watch what you're carrying inside of you. Because there's a due date
There is a due date. There is an expected time. There is a set time for that to come forth. And when you feel a little, I don't get mad when people have a little attitude here and there, because my wife had one when she was pregnant. At least I thought she did. But what I'm saying is that we have these attitudes. We get these struggles. That's because you're conceiving something. You got something inside of you that wants to come forth. And what God is trying to do is tell you not to abort it. Satan tries to get you, many people, he get them to say, hey, you can just have an abortion. Just get rid of it. Just get rid of it. Same thing Satan has done in the Bible is the same thing he's doing now. He wants to destroy God's word. So you're carrying God's word. Satan don't want you to deliver that word because that word is going to bless somebody. That word is going to get somebody off of crack. That word is going to get somebody off of the alcohol. That word is going to stop somebody from cheating. That word is going to bless somebody on their job. That's going to bless somebody's marriage. Satan don't want that. This is why he wants you to abort. This is why he wants you to stop. So I'm saying to you, Katina, I always say, be encouraged. Just be encouraged. If you got to be like David, encourage your own self, do that. Do that. When people are talking about you, just start dancing. Encourage yourself. Just break out in a dance all by yourself. Don't even worry about anybody being around. Just get lost in the spirit. Just start dancing. Dance all over that place. Dance on your job. Just start dancing. I guarantee you, they're going to leave you alone. Y'all think I'm playing? Bust out in the dance on your job. In the Lord, I guarantee you they're going to leave you alone. They're going to like, whoa, I ain't messing with them. You see that? Now, either they will join in with you or they're going to go somewhere and sit down. Because if they mess with you and you a child of God, you don't want to know. So y'all need to hear what I'm saying. Don't look at me. But hear the words of God that is coming through me. God wants you to get pregnant with his word. He wants you to walk and carry his word. And give birth to his word. Because there is a due date. I'm expecting to get phone calls and say, Pastor, I just delivered. I come see about you. Y'all know how we like to go see people when they have a baby. All right. We like to go see people when they just delivered. Yeah. And we want to be the first one to go there and just hold the baby, right? Yeah. So you are pregnant with the word. You have a due date. Yeah. I want you to hit that date. All right. You can do it. Yeah. Amen. Amen. The doors of the church are now open. The doors of the church are now open. Amen. This is a due day. A set time. You got to believe this for yourself. I done spoke the word. I done preached the word. It's up to you now. It's on you.